Before we talk a little football with my Cuño, I remind you the best place to get geared up is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Mike Cuño's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. You see him on CBS4 here in Miami and nationally on CBS Sports HQ. And Cuño, I believe, went to Christopher Columbus High School in Miami. Do you know who else went to Columbus? I guess I'll start with you, Cuño. Do you know who else in this game went to Columbus?
I think I know all the people in this game who went to Columbus. Fernando, Mario, Mirabal, Bryce Fitzgerald. I'm probably missing a couple.
Ryan Rodriguez, Vinny Gonzalez, Ryan. Albert Mendoza, as well as Fernando Mendoza. This has to be pretty wild for, we know the backstories of Fernando Mendoza coming back here to play and the Mario Cristobal connection. It has to be pretty wild for Columbus alumni, right? That all this is swirling around.
It is crazy. And like everyone I've talked to who are alumni have like conflicted feelings about this, but I know the school from the people I've talked to there are loving this. Cause they're like, look, it's a win-win for us. No matter who ends up winning this game, our high school has been exposed on a major platform, and it's really cool to see. I mean, Fernando's dad showing the pictures of Coach Cristobal and Mirabal and Mr. Mendoza, from their playing days at Columbus and those black and white photos. It's really cool. It's a really unique South Florida championship, but it also goes past Columbus. There's all the kids from Chaminade and Miami Central and all these other schools down here, Aquinas, that are represented and going to have a lot of friends and family. This is like uniquely an intimate national championship for Miami, but also a great storyline nationally.
And something we talked about last week, Mike, like you're a part of the alumni base. I'm sure y'all have newsletters and all, cause y'all got a bunch of money and a bunch of rich people. Are there people that's going that don't even really follow football like that, but so many Columbus connections are there that they just have to be in the building?
I wouldn't say that they don't follow football, because everyone, like the thing about Columbus, and you guys probably see sort of the, what we call C pride on display a lot without even realizing it. We have like, people have like the letter C on the back of their cars all over town. You'll start to notice it now that I've mentioned it, but the Columbus pride is crazy. It runs crazy deep. No matter, anytime someone Columbus does anything, the newsletter gets blasted, the group chats blow up. You know, Jorge Mas went to Columbus. He owns Inter Miami. You know, so like there's all these guys, Marcus Lemonis. There's all these guys. Whenever they do something and are on a big stage,
he went to Columbus. Lemonis? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, Marcus Lemonis. It's funny because he went. So I was at like a pep rally for something years ago, and he was there, and I think he was making some sort of big donation. And I think he just had like made an announcement that the next day there was going to be no school. And I think Fernando Mendoza was actually a student in the mosh pit that day too, because I think he mentioned it in a recent press conference, and I remember it. So yeah, there's a lot of ties to Columbus, not just here, but across the country. And it's really cool to see all of it kind of converge into one national story this week.
Let me get to the game, because I was saying to Crowder and Solana, like, we watched Indiana do what they did to Oregon on Friday, and we've watched the Canes go through really tough opponents on their road here to the national championship. So are you a little bit leery of what Indiana might be bringing to Hard Rock Stadium?
So, yes, you have to give Indiana all the respect in the world for what they are. As a football team, they're sound. They've got a Heisman winning quarterback. They've got a defense that doesn't play around. They've got athletes and age and experience on their team, and a coach who's well prepared, another guy that comes from the Saban tree. And the thing that I think might get lost in this is everyone will say, well, Miami's been battle tested, right? Each step of the way in these playoffs, they've had to prove that they can win late in the fourth quarter, and they know how to do it. Indiana knows that too. They had to do that against Penn State this year. They've had to do it against Ohio State this year. So in terms of well-rounded teams, you are getting about as difficult a matchup from a physical standpoint, coaching standpoint, and a mental standpoint, because it's not just a team that was just rolling through opponents and you didn't know what they would do if they got punched in the face. They've been punched in the face and they've been able to respond and able to come out victorious on the other side. So this is about as good as a matchup you can get.
does anything change for the Hurricanes? I was reading the average weight on the offensive line of the Hurricanes compared to the defensive line of Indiana, and like Miami, their average weight is like 50 pounds heavier than the average weight of the defensive line. I imagine like nothing changes for the Canes, right? This isn't, oh, Carson Beck has to outduel Mendoza. It's as simple as keep doing what you're doing, dominate the trenches. You should be in it at the end.
Yeah, be good at what you're good at. That's what I would say. Continue to dominate the trenches. Stick with your running game. You don't have to get cute. It almost bit them last game against Ole Miss. I think you're right. If you just do what you've been doing in the trenches and stay there, that is your wheelhouse. Play your best game, and then don't make the mistakes. The Ole Miss game, to me, reminded me a lot of what happened at SMU. There was a lot of shooting yourself in the foot, and you allowed a team to stay around, and they end up winning the game. Now, mine was fortunate against Ole Miss that didn't happen, but they're a different team since that SMU game. But they just have to eliminate those self-inflicted wounds. You have to play a clean game against Indiana. Miami absolutely has the coaching. They have the players to win this game. You just have to play it cleanly to get it done.
And do they take more chances, Mike? Because Indiana, like you're saying, they're not just this explosive team, but hell, I don't know if I have PTSD from watching them whoop Oregon and be up by 30 at halftime. Do they take more chances? Maybe some fourth and fours on the 50. This might be a punt situation, but we can't give them the ball back. We got to go for it and try to put some points on the board.
Yeah, I think you have to do it. I think you have to do it smartly. And I thought the Texas A&M game was such a well-run game from a coaching standpoint, and the fact that they played the field position game like almost perfectly. They knew A&M could not really move the ball. So it was like, just keep pinning in the deep, and your field position is going to get better with each possession. You'll start to add points. And they did in that second half. And that's what happened. So I think you got to be smart with it. I like they did a couple times against Ole Miss, but don't just stay away from the cute stuff. You don't have to go the Wildcat with Malachi Toney on 3rd-and-2. I'd rather you run it twice and not get it than do something like that and put yourself a little further behind the sticks than you need to be.
Hand the ball to Fletcher. I think we're all in agreement. Hand the ball
Marty
to
Brown,
Fletcher.
Like they're tough. They're tough to take down. Just, and your O-line's so big. Just trust those guys.
Reminds me of Crowder's high school football coach. Give the ball to Channing. He used to call you Shannon. Give the ball to Shannon.
He didn't know my name, Mike, and we ran an option, but there was only one option, and he would scream from the sideline, give the ball to Shannon, just give it to him, and the other team could hear him.
I want to hear Mario yelling, give the ball to Fletcher, just give it to him.
You didn't become a running back out of that? Come on, what happened?
Every time I tore my ACL, I was a running back. I said, yeah, I might want to stick on the defense.
Okay, be the hammer, not the nail. I got you.
And welcome back in here on WQAM on this beautiful Monday morning here in South Florida. I'm Hollywood. Omar Kelly is with us. Alex Dono and Dan Day with us as well, as we are 7 days away from a very big football game happening right here in our backyard. And Dono, as welcome you back in here this morning, my friend. I got to get your take on this this last Miami win, because I think it's still relevant right now, Dono, as we get set for this next game. But that game was feels like it was a while ago, but it was just last week, as Miami earning a spot in this national title game. And the story around this team, I mean, there's so many that we could spend all day talking individually about a lot of these stories, but the Carson Beck story really jumps out at you from what he was able to accomplish in that last game. And, you know, Dono, they put the ball in his hands late in that game. And I got to tell you, I give the Hurricanes, you know, a lot of a credit. And, you know, the nice thing about this too is now we can actually, you know, had a little time to digest the game over the weekend. We came in on Friday and it was like, you know, just so crazy that happened. But now that you have a little time to really think about it, and the way that they put the ball in Carson Beck's hands late in that game, and clearly Miami, you know, could have settled, you know, and played the, you know, more conservative on that final drive. They let him throw the ball. They let him throw it over the middle of the field. And they said, you know what, go win us this football game.
And Carson Beck, man, for all the crap that he's taken, all the stuff he's been through, and boy, he went out there and he took it, Dono.
Wanted was to go. Sorry, I think I was muted there for a second. The last thing that I wanted was to go back to overtime at a Fiesta Bowl. So I was so glad they allowed Carson Beck to go for the win and not go for the tie in that situation. And to me, like that drive was, and you know, I don't know how much that did for his draft stock or whatever. Obviously, it can't hurt, but like for his college career, that was a career defining type of drive for Carson Beck, because I can't tell you, to your point, Hollywood, I mean, when people were asking me about that game and all these playoff games, you know, people from outside the Miami bubble, you know, people who cover the SEC were always like, do you trust Carson Beck? Like, if it comes down to a game-winning drive, is that guy going to win it for you? Do you trust Mario Cristobal not to screw it up? And, you know, you have that opportunity to win the game. You go 75 yards and 15 plays, because obviously it was important to take as much time off the clock as possible. You ended up leaving 18 seconds, which wasn't a whole lot for Ole Miss, and they still had an opportunity at the end. So if you'd left anything more than those 18 seconds, it could have been a little bit dicey for you down the stretch. 15 plays, 75 yards, had to convert 4 third downs during that drive, and then ultimately Beck scores the game-winning touchdown with his legs, which I don't think is what anybody had on their bingo card. So I think that drive to me was a culmination of how comfortable Carson has become throughout the season in Shannon Dawson's offense. And to me, I think it also, you know, really shows his maturity, and I think in a lot of ways it validates Miami's decision to, you know, kind of controversially go out and get him last year, because a lot of people thought, you know, why really want to pay, you know, 7 figures, $3-4 million for Carson Beck? Is he worth it? I think that drive and that win kind of tells you he was worth every penny.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, sometimes it just fits, right? Sometimes you just get the right fit, and Miami is 2-for-2 right now with those transfer portal quarterbacks. And, you know, Cam Ward was on the sideline. I don't know if you saw that photo. There's a photo of Carson running into the end zone, and Cam Ward is in the background. So it was like the passing the torch photo is pretty cool. It's amazing the way that it worked out for Carson, and you feel so good for him, don't you? It's really one of those stories where it's like everyone is rooting against you except for the people that are, you know, in your town. And it almost has that like big three heat feeling. It's like the world is rooting against you. But you got and look, I imagine it'll be the same deal in this game, right? Indiana's kind of a likable underdog school. Miami is Miami. So I'm guessing that, you know, that there will be a lot of Indiana love out there and not much Miami love. But
one is the underdog, right? And the other is the team that everybody hates. So
Miami's the underdog in this game, Omar. There's no question.
I realize that, but nobody in the nation is really going to view them as the underdog. They're just going to view them as, you know, the team everybody should have pity for, that little Indiana team that they've just tried hard and they've just done things right. This is a throwback to old college football. And here comes the big bad Hurricanes. They just pay for their teams.
Well, I said that going into the game on Friday, with Indiana, I thought, well, I kind of want to see them play, you know, one more dominant game here. Let's see how they do, you know, because I'm just not fully bought in. And I almost feel like I'm still not fully bought in on Indiana.
How many butts do they got to whip for you to not be bought in?
One more. They got to whip one more for him to believe. They got to whip
one more butt
for you to believe. Yeah, they do that. Yeah, then I'll believe. But I know, look, it's tough because they are not a football school. And, you know, they're the Hoosiers. They're a basketball school. So it's like unusual to be so, you know, as good as they are, as dominant as they are. But
see them open up a can of whoop ass on everybody. It's unusual. Yeah.
The nice thing about this playoff too is that you had four teams in the Final Four that, you know, are not regulars in the Final Four, and I think it goes to show you this NIL thing, and you know they have they've spread this thing out, and you know now it's kind of an even playing field for a lot of these different teams, and now Miami, I think, is Dono, and you know, you guys keep seeing you, and you know, I know you cover this recruiting stuff very closely on the Locked On Canes podcast. Miami's doing just all right for themselves right now, and I'm guessing the momentum of this national championship is going to continue to push them forward here. But with that being said, we got to do something about this calendar here, man. Like, Miami should be able to focus on this game and this game alone and not have to worry about transfer portal guys right now as we get set to play a football game.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that if there's any staff that's built for it, it's Miami's, because Mario Cristobal doesn't sleep and he doesn't really allow his staff to sleep either. Like, these guys, you know, we got this thing down here called Cafecito, the Cuban coladas, which keep everybody awake for about 21, 22 hours a day on this staff. But they've definitely, Hollywood, they've had to be really pragmatic with the way that they've gone about this in terms of the transfer portal. You know, they didn't do a whole lot when it comes to visits and transfer recruiting right before the Ole Miss game, because there were only, 7-8 days between the Ohio State game and the Ole Miss game. So Miami kind of purposely, I'm not going to say punted on the first week of the transfer portal, but they didn't go all into it. They only hosted a couple of visits between the Ohio State and the Ole Miss game, and they kind of allowed a lot of other teams to get a head start because, to your point, they didn't want to sacrifice their preparation in like a normal week, like a 7-8 day span. You know, they've obviously had to do more between these two games having 11 days. Miami had 7 transfer portal visitors over this weekend, but it's definitely, you know, of course, you get a certain amount of momentum for making a deep playoff run, so maybe players are a little bit more willing to wait for you. But at the same time, it did hurt Miami a little bit because, you know, probably their number one quarterback target was Brennan Sorsby from Cincinnati, who just, like, he didn't want to wait. He very quickly committed to Texas Tech, which is also where his girlfriend goes. That might have been a little help in that situation.
She
but,
might have been a
planted
girlfriend, so.
Yeah, right. You know, Miami has definitely, they've had to handle this a different way because, you know, the last few years, they've been very free at this time of year. They haven't had any, you know, January commitments, but this year it's different.
Yeah, this year is definitely different when it comes to playing late into to January. I, you know, again, a lot of this is unexpected here, but I think the thing that bodes very well for them is, you know, Quinn Carson Beck's not going to be the first pick in the draft. Obviously, you had that, you know, with your quarterback last year, but you may very well have the first non-quarterback off the board here with Reuben Bain, the way that he's played through the playoff, and I all things NFL draft, I kind of go to Omar on this one. So Omar, I mean, you got Reuben Bain. I know you've watched him play. I still imagine he will be, if not the first, he will be one of the top non-quarterbacks taken off the board for NFL drafts, and such a premium on that position as well still.
Absolutely, and I think he's shown you that he can do every single style of rushing. You show you can play in every single scheme. The toughness, the motor, the drive, because he's not, you know, I don't think there are dynamic moves. I don't think there's sensational athleticism. But what I do see is a guy who plays with a ferocious heart and is a finisher. And, man, he reminds me a lot of Terrell Suggs, just in terms of, it doesn't look pretty, but it gets to the quarterback. And, you know, anybody who knew Terrell Suggs in a college game and when he went into the draft, a lot of people didn't believe because he was just this undersized guy. And I think Bain is going to face the same thing. But when you put on that tape, man, that thing screams at you.
Well, he's going to be one of those guys. Mezzador, I imagine, will be one of those guys in there. They have a lot of guys, Dono, that I'm guessing will be possible draft targets. And, you know, the funny thing is, man, I would ask you, like, who will be coming back? Who will be going to the draft? The problem with this who will be coming back thing is we got open free agency in college football. And I don't know. Can you pay everyone? I don't know how this is going to go here. Not that I want to take away from the game that they're about to play in, but this free agency in college football is wild at this point. And I know all these guys have agents and they're going to be fielding offers here. And I saw The Alabama quarterback, I don't know if you guys saw this. The Alabama quarterback, Ty Simpson, was going to go, I think he announced like officially he was going pro. And now there are colleges that are apparently willing to pay him upwards of $6.5 million to go back to college instead of entering the NFL draft. And it just makes you wonder.
He might want to consider it.
It's not the worst idea, right? I mean, and Omar, I don't know what a, you know, off the top of my head, what a first round quarterback is making these days.
Not that much.
But if you can, well, he would be where he would go, probably, I'm guessing, right around where the Dolphins pick.
I would think mid to late first round. So let me look up the money. But so
do you take the $6.5 million and just stay in college and play another 12 college games? Like,
I think it's definitely something that needs to be considered and put on the table, especially if you're going to be a later round guy, like, for instance, Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers' whole deal in his NFL career is going to be worth $5 million. I know he had at least a $2 million offer from University of North Carolina to continue to play college athletics. And for 1 year, he would have made more in college than he would have made in the NFL. And the question is, would he have improved his NFL stock in this draft class of mediocre to questionable quarterbacks?
Maybe not at North Carolina, but if he'd gone somewhere else, maybe he could have.
Hey, man, oh, the teams that need you the most are the teams that are paying. So, yeah. And, you know, he probably had a good relationship, so he wasn't in the Cavender sweepstakes, so it couldn't benefit him to come to Miami. Even though it didn't really benefit Carson Beck, because, you know, he got down here and he realized there's a whole lot more to South Florida than a Cavallari twin.
Well, I just never thought we'd see the day where we had a college quarterback who was debating money between going in the draft and going, you know, back to college for a year. I didn't think we'd see that day, but here we are.
We need to really encourage them to stay, because Dante Moore, that guy needs a lot of work.
He needs to stay. Yeah, he needs to stay another year.
I mean, but he's going to be the second overall pick. He's going to be the second quarterback taken. There are franchises that are thirsty. If somebody's going to look at the talent and say, I can develop that, I can work with that, as you know, they always do. And I watched that guy at the Orange Bowl, and obviously you saw what happened in the national championship game, but I watched him at the Orange Bowl, and I was like, no, this guy's not ready. No, sir, no ready. Like, he stares down receivers. You're not ready for the big leagues, brother.
Well, hopefully the Hurricanes are ready for a big step up in competition for the final time here. Is this Indiana team, boy, do they look tough. And I want to get Dono some early thoughts on this game here and who you think needs to step up and have a big game for Miami to have a chance to win this one coming up 1 week from today at Hard Rock Stadium. The Miami Hurricanes will play for a national championship. And how about this? We're going to have it for you right here on WQAM. Dono will have your post-game show for you. We're bringing Monroe back for this one. Monroe can't travel anymore. He has nowhere left to travel, so he's going to do countdown to kickoff with me. So we'll have a fresh countdown to kickoff.
You're probably going to be holding them down.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be like an anchor.
I know.
You know what's funny? Miami receives like a $3 million travel budget for every game, and like they still get it for this one, even though it's in their hometown at their home stadium. So, I mean, they're going to get the nicest charter buses to go from campus to Hard Rock Stadium you've ever seen.
Do you have to spend that money, though?
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. If you could just pocket it, I think you might have to spend it. They're going to get like a charter jet just to fly in a circle just to come back to Miami.
I like that. They could use land right there on 95. On that little turnpike extension there.
Mario's going to use that money to fly on a helicopter to go recruit all these transfer portal kids.
Yes, probably.
Well, Mario has not slept, I could promise you that, as this recruiting thing continues on here. But
I do have a question for you, Dono. How many of the Canes' actual players on the team are in the transfer portal right now?
There were, I want to say, 7 or 8 of them, and it was mostly guys who were, you know, probably not going to play a whole lot. Like you know, Nathaniel Ray Joseph at slot receiver, he's already landed somewhere. But like the problem was when he first 2 years here, he was behind Xavier Restrepo, and then Malachi Toney showed up. So like he needed to leave, right? There's a couple other receivers, Nykar, Chance Robinson. Robinson just landed at NC State. I mean, like the one that kind of bothered Miami fans because it seemed like he would have played a lot next year was Dante Simpson, you know, first-year defensive tackle who got a little bit of burn this year and I think would have played a lot more next year. So, like, we're not really sure why he left and he just landed. Oh, man, I can't. Mizzou or so I can't remember.
It's called money, Dono. That's why he left.
No, I'm sure it is, but it's like, you know, and you're right. That's how these things go. But yeah, it's been mostly players who weren't, you know, going to be probably big in the plans for next year.
And my thought is like Malachi Toney, man, that guy's got to be getting a raise.
Oh, for sure. No, you can lock that in. He's earned himself a raise. I mean, he loves Miami. I don't think he's leaving, but he has earned a raise.
Well, Omar, you know, the market is the market when it comes to a talent like Malachi Toney. All right, we got to take a pause here. I want to get Dono's early keys to this national championship game here and see who he thinks needs to have a big game for the Hurricanes. We'll get to that when we come back here on WQAM.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy back with you here on FM 104.3 WQAM. Get to our headlines this hour, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. You always pay less with your pricito at Doral Hyundai. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. The Miami Hurricanes, we have their opponent, ladies and gentlemen. They will take on the Indiana Hoosiers 1 week from today just a thorough ass kicking that they put. I don't even know if that's I don't even know if that's an appropriate term. I don't know if that covers what they did to Oregon.
I thought it was going to be a hell of a game when they gave up a pick six right away, and then they went down and scored. It was 7-7. I'm like, uh-oh, we got a game.
Crazy, dude. 56-22 was your final score.
And it wasn't that close.
That was some window dressing at the end there.
Yep.
To get it in the 20s. But they, we were texting during this game, like, that Cignetti, he is no nonsense. I mean, he is.
Well, you know who he's on the staff of.
Saban.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all are. Every one of them. That Saban's got a good college coaching tree. They've all been.
Guess whose tree Saban's on?
Belichick.
Yeah. Which is crazy, right?
Does he get to break off the tree though? Or is that, he's always in the tree. Once you're in the tree,
that's
you're in
where
the tree.
It starts. Fair enough. But he can have a college tree.
It is a college tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't call it coaching rehab for nothing.
Yeah, I don't think his – I don't know if his
– Even Mario. Does Mario go on it?
Oh, absolutely. Mario's okay. Definitely – Mario gives Nick Saban the business, like, every time he's on the air. He's the only guy I see he makes fun of him because he brings receipts. He goes, I don't know why you went for it on fourth down there. And he goes – I literally have your notebook. That's what you said you would do. He goes, that's a good point. He's like, I didn't think that he was going to bring receipts like this. But, yeah, man, this is crazy. By the way. Big spread right now. It's gone down, though. It started, I think, 8.5. Indiana's favored, and now it's down to 7.5.
Let me explain something to you. Under no circumstances,
mm-hmm.
There ain't no team in this country that can give the Hurricanes a 7 points. Give 7 points. I'm telling you, you know how I feel about that.
Yep.
Two teams that play identical and one may be more talented at this doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you win. Because Indiana is well coached and they are where they're supposed to be all game long.
Yes.
That being said, there ain't no team in this country, in college football, from no conference, that's 7 points better than the U.
And it didn't even open that. I was like, I was pretty.
No
were, you
chance.
Su- were you surprised to see them as that much of a dog, or after the Indiana score, you weren't surprised?
No, I'm not surprised at all.
You're
and
not
I
surprised.
Like being, I like.
Why
being
aren't
the
you surprised?
Because people are looking at Indiana as unstoppable. Right
yeah,
now.
they're all looking right. at them. They've not lost one game. yet, right? I mean, they're undefeated. We've had two losses, even though we're playing very well.
But the Kings,
we've only not been an underdog in one game,
right? And I would say, Brady, you would agree, the Canes' road has been much harder than theirs as far as the playoffs concerned. If you 1,000%. Wanted to, and if you wanted to, and we like to call this in the fight community, MMA math it. I think the Canes gave the business to Ohio State more than Indiana did. If we're going common opponent, if you want to go into that route.
Yeah, they did.
I feel like they did. And I don't know. I just thought Mendoza's amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. He is amazing. And I really, really, I'm going to find it hard to dislike him this week because he is so positive. Mm-hmm. It's literally like, it's like a puppy who's the greatest quarterback ever.
Here, you ready? He needs to be twice as positive because of his Debbie Downer coach.
Oh, my God.
So that guy, is he ever happy? Like, genuinely?
No, he's Nick Saban.
No, but I find it, like, I don't find it endearing. And, but like, I used to find, like, that, like, Saban somewhat endearing in a way. He just, like, it seems very fake to me. Like, it seems like a very
facade.
Yeah, it's like, just, you can celebrate the fact that your team is playing well. Like, it's okay.
I think
that Cristobal does a great job of it. Like, I think he does a good job of that line.
We,
like,
did just see Cristobal nearly suplex his own coach.
Well,
right.
Yes, but then he can go on, you know, and talk to Saban the next day and make a joke about him getting his makeup done. You know what I mean?
Like, he'll joke about that with Saban, but not Scott Van Pelt.
No, but that was, like, right after the win. And he's still, you know, he'll put his fist up in the air. Like, this guy just is serious at all times. It's insane to me. Your team lambasted Oregon, and you have not one smirk on your face.
I think, Brittany, you're doing the prudent thing here because he's the hateable guy because their quarterback is not.
Well, I think you're right.
We need to keep the task in it. We need somebody to get all in a tizzy about Leroy. Get all worked up about it, and it has to be his face because I can't hate Mendoza.
You can't hate him.
He's too nice. I want to pinch his cheeks.
I've been saying that to everybody. I'm like, I almost wish it was Oregon just because I feel like I could find something to dislike about them because I don't really care for Dan Lanning that much. And just, like, you know, the crap that they talked about Mario Cristobal, like, that's fuel. But, like, what does Indiana have? Like, we only have Cignetti, so I'm just going to go with him because of Mendoza. Yeah. Like, if the Canes weren't in this, I was rooting for Indiana.
Of course,
the whole time
they're super likable. It's who I mean this program used to be like Leroy. You, what was Indiana? When you played Indiana,
it would be Boston College.
Like, did you even play a full game against Indiana, or were you always done by halftime?
So the craziest thing is, every year, Indiana will start off 6-0, 5-1, and we'd have to play them. And Bo would come in and say, "This Indiana team, they're not like last year." We'd be like, "Why does he do this every year?" All right, we get it. Work hard, practice, don't take nothing for granted, but stop selling us on this Super Bowl championship. Like, this, like, come on, dude. So, no, they've always been start off strong. Even maybe get ranked, and then finish the year 8-3, 7-4. That's always, like, what they've been. So this year, I think for me, when they beat Oregon earlier in the year, I was like, all right.
Mendoza's coming out party was kind of his performance against the Canes, wasn't it? Like, they got up big on the Canes when he was a Cal last year.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I was kind of like, I was like, oh, because I was like, this Mendoza kid's like, and right. You know, obviously the Canes never offered him. We all know his story.
Or this year, when what he did against Ohio State, what he did against Penn State, remember they were down and they had to have last second heroics.
Oh, my goodness.
That throw, like, yeah, so it's been like spots during the year. That's why the thing I couldn't figure out with Ohio State and Julian Sain is that guy's played the easiest good football that I've ever seen a college player play because he has so much talent around him, stress-free. And every time he played a viable defensive front, and that was Texas, that was who Texas, then Indiana, and now then Miami. The three teams that could get a pass rush on him, he struggled. So, like, yeah, Mendoza just seems to get it done. He gets it done. They get it done. Their coach is fun to look at because he's miserable for reasons nobody can explain.
This is going to be the battle of coaches.
I'm like, dude, this ain't Alabama. You're Indiana.
Cristobal was like, you know what the funny thing was with Cristobal when that whole Verbo trophy was going on was how he was trying to coach who to be on stage because he was so sick of like all the sponsors being on stage.
Right.
And all the, which is dopey. Like all the, like nobody gets to go up there except for the MVPs. And it's like, can't you get it? We can't get a bigger stage. We know, like, how much money is being thrown into this?
How about what he say? Get all these, get all these other
get
people.
These extras. These right. Get them out of here.
Yeah, he said extra people. Can we get some players up here and get rid of these extra people?
He's right.
But keep in mind, the Fiesta Bowl feels a little different because Verbo gives them a boatload of money.
Of course. I understand. And so, but nobody's there to hear those people.
Nobody's there. But guess what? Here's the other thing. Everybody's accepting that check. So when they get their cut and it goes back to the university, so you got to kind of play ball.
Joey says, Mark Cuban went to Indiana. If you need a villain. Oh, I know. Trust me. And he's already, by the way, have you seen that? He's what? Hey, shocking. Hey, let me know if you heard this story before, Leroy. A championship game involving Miami and Mark Cuban. And he's already whining about it. Because of ticket prices. He goes, little Indiana fans, how can they afford the ticket? I don't know, Mark. Why don't you buy some tickets? Money bags? Since you got out of the game from the Dallas Mavericks so early. And, oh, you never want to trade Luka. Why don't you just go buy some tickets then for them? Oh, this is going to be a home game. Yeah, dude, it's in Miami. Sorry, them's the breaks. If anybody in their right mind would have wanted to have this at Lucas Oil Stadium, then we'd have a different discussion, wouldn't we? But your city sucks, so nobody wants to.
Wait a minute.
Sorry.
So, like,
he was whining on Twitter about the prices.
Who?
Mark Cuban.
Do they also not realize that just because, like, even Miami fans are priced out of this national championship?
I don't know who's like.
This is a tax bracket that none of us are in.
Who gets to sit in this game? Are there going to be? Is royalty going to be there?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Who can afford these tickets?
If you have season tickets, you get to choose them. They will offer you tickets. But here's the kicker.
But it's only a quarter of the stadium for each
right.
team season ticket holders. Everything else is free range.
But here's the funny part about all this. My buddy, you know Mike, my buddy Dave,
mm-hmm.
he went to all the games. Right?
All the Canes games.
And here's what happens. They swipe your card right after the previous game ends.
It's face value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like, yeah, you could get the tickets, but you have to get them early, and you're paying for them sooner than everybody. So that's why they don't cost as much. But I would say to Mark Cuban, hey, the reason why it's hard for Indiana fans to get tickets, because they ain't think no way in hell that Indiana's going to play for the national championship. Simple as that.
Here's what he tweeted. He said, can any ticket brokers with experience selling college football playoff championship games give any comparisons or insights on how they think the price will move between now and right after kickoff? Lots of IU fans want to know. And by the way, FY, the base price of the tickets went from $350 to where they are now immediately after Miami won. It's a home game for them. So we need to know the best path of tickets for IU fans.
First of all, there's 25,000. Wait, it's 25% for each team. So that's 50%. So you're figuring what, 50,000?
So how can they overtake the building and still travel? Is that what he's trying to figure out?
Huh?
So what is he's sitting here whining because the other chunk of the tickets they can't afford?
I don't know. But are you saying you're going to get 25,000 IU fans here?
Mm. It's not even 25,000 because remember, Hard Rock is only like 60,000, 70,000.
So it's 50, so it's 30,000, so 15,000. Okay, 15,000. 50,000. Name me 15,000 Indiana fans that wanted to come here a month ago, because that's what Miami fans did. Miami fans put put everything on the line beforehand. They were getting their card swiped every week. You just getting your card swiped for the finals.
Just tired of his whining. This Mark Cuban's got to whine about everything.
Leave him.
He's a whiner, dude.
You know what? You know why I'm not going to whine? I'm not going to whine because that dude is supporting Indiana.
Oh,
bless their heart. They finally got some support. You know what I'm saying?
Take a break. Back after this.
Welcome.